talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers. This is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I've got to say, it's good to be back on the air after 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks of R&R. And boy, is there a lot of news. There's always a lot of news, even overnight. News happens while you sleep. But there's been a lot of news. We're obviously going to talk about Ukraine and a lot of other things as well. I want to start with Ukraine. That is the front line of the news. That is the front line of everybody's thoughts right now. I'm going to start with recent developments, setbacks for Russia, some challenging signals. Some would say ominous. I think they are handleable. Joe Biden's doing a good job. He's over in Brussels for a couple of days of meetings. Meet with NATO. He'll meet with the head of the EU in Brussels, Belgium. I've been to Brussels, Belgium. Beautiful, beautiful city. You know something? Kiev is a beautiful city, and yet that's being destroyed by the Russians. Well, here's a couple of the latest developments, setbacks for Russia. One of the challenging things, some would say ominous, is that suddenly the military leaders in Russia have gone radio silent and rejected any calls from their American counterparts. Their American counterparts are General Lloyd Austin, the Defense Secretary, and General Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And it's very, very common for back-channel conversations to occur between military leaders of equal rank. You know, you don't just put Biden on the phone to call Putin or vice versa. You don't put Biden on the phone to call Xi of China and vice versa. They do talk, but it's set up at lower levels, and it's important to have an ongoing dialogue. For instance, there was an episode decades ago where Russian computers malfunctioned, which is no surprise. They malfunction all the time. And in this particular case, it looked as if missiles from the United States and NATO were coming into Russia. Whoever was in charge of the screen that day, fortunately, had great discretion. It just seemed unusual and aberrant, so he did not trigger a response, and it turned out it was their malfunction. That's the kind of thing you need. You need to have dialogue. And here you have this war in Ukraine, an Iron Curtain descending back on Russia itself, suppressing all dissent. They're going in, committing war crimes, bombing civilian targets. There was one target where there were a lot of children holed up in a building. And in large letters in Russian, it said, children, and they deliberately bombed it to kill the kids. To kill the kids. You have to remember something, that Vladimir Putin is former KGB, very high ranking in the KGB. He's a former deputy mayor of St. Petersburg. I've been to St. Petersburg, beautiful city, beautiful city. But this guy is used to deception, fraud, and murder. That's what the KGB is all about. In any event, for whatever reason, the comparable military leaders in Russia are not returning calls or even taking calls from Lloyd Austin and General Milley. A lot of speculation about it. Some speculation is that Putin has put the kibosh on it. Another speculation is that Putin's inner circle is starting to draw away from him after their humiliation in Ukraine. Remember something. The leadership in Russia doesn't care about sadism. It doesn't care about killing kids or anything. What it cares about is being humiliated in front of the world, in particular Europe and the United States. When they went into Ukraine thinking they were the equivalent of Super Bowl contenders or Super Bowl champs, taking on a peewee eighth grade middle school football team, and suddenly they're losing. That's all they care about. And a lot of people around Putin and a lot of the leaders in Russia are starting to get worried, very, very worried. And the question is, who has their hands on the controls? Who has their hands on the controls of the nuclear weapons? Milley and Austin will continue. They will continue to make calls. But there's another tactic that Putin is using right now. On Russian TV, I saw a program recently. It was broadcast over here in the news. Showed a bunch of talking heads, and one of them is clearly a plant, clearly somebody that Putin planted in it. They kept talking about nuclear weapons, talking about, well, we may have to use them. There's a city named Kaliningrad in Russia that's in a narrow corridor between Lithuania and Poland. Maybe we have to militarize it. It's sandwiched down there, and they're so cocky in Warsaw, we could burn it to the ground. You don't talk like that. You just don't talk like that if you're a secure nuclear power. To their credit, the other people looked aghast. They were afraid to say anything. But the question is, if Putin gets tossed out, and usually when that happens, he gets killed by their inner circle, what happens? What happens? Who controls the nuclear weapons? That's the issue of the day right now. Absolutely the issue of the day. We have a caller. We're going to go to the lines briefly and then come back to this. Adrian of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Adrian?
Morning, Matt. On the subject of the confirmation hearings for Judge Jackson, you get all this stuff from the Republicans about her being soft on crime, but is that even relevant to Supreme Court justice? I mean, they don't sense anyone. They don't decide what charges are going to be brought. They don't... They don't sign off on plea deals. Is the Supreme Court justice being tough or weak on crime even relevant?
Yeah, good question. And let me respond briefly right now, Adrian. The whole issue of Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation hearing will be a subject today of its own segment. And we're going to get into that a lot deeper. But for now, for the purposes of your question, it is true that a federal judge, and especially a Supreme Court justice, doesn't decide on charges, doesn't decide on plea bargains or who should go into them or who shouldn't. But there are ranges of discretion in appellate courts as to what is tolerable and what is not under things, for instance, like unreasonable searches and seizures. A conservative justice will give the police a lot more latitude, a liberal justice less latitude, and that can go on and on. And the truth is, if you take a look at our Constitution, it was written in the 1700s, before modern technology, before a lot of modern developments that they never could have foreseen. It was written before there were political parties. And so to say for any justice, liberal or conservative, the Constitution says this. The Constitution is a magnificent document. It's bare bones. And people essentially fill in the blanks in accordance with modern mores, modern culture, and modern technology. So I think that what they're doing with Ketanji Brown Jackson is massively unfair. Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Hawley, and the rest of them, absolutely unfair. And frequently lying, they will give talking points and then shout at her as she tries to answer. And we're going to talk about that later. But thank you for your call, Adrian. And the truth of the matter is that a Supreme Court justice has a lot to do with law enforcement and with how the laws are enforced. Once a prosecutor brings a charge, and the other thing that's leveled at our criminal justice system is prosecutors will overcharge, over-prosecute, so that no one can afford to go to trial, because if they lose, they have an enormous prison term. The Congress has put in minimum sentencing guidelines. And that induces plea bargains. You very rarely see a criminal trial anymore unless somebody is not given a deal and is desperate. Adrian, thanks a lot for calling in. We're going to get back to that shortly. Now, to get back to Ukraine, you have a history in Ukraine. And I'm going to hit this very briefly right now. I've said some of it before. Ukraine used to be part of Poland. Lithuania used to be part of Poland. They were divided up by Russia, Prussia, and Austria in the 1790s. They disappeared from the map. Poland did throughout the 1800s. Briefly back in business right after the First World War, then suppressed again by the Nazis and the Commie Ruskies, and really didn't get free till about 1989, 1990. When Russia says that Ukraine is part of Russia, that's false. Russia is part of Ukraine. And why do I say that? Because in the 10th century, there was a guy named Prince Vladimir the Great, and Vladimir Putin's named after him, and Vladimir Putin wants to emulate him. And Vladimir was Ukrainian. He was in Kiev. It wasn't in Moscow. There wasn't a Moscow. In the 10th century, in the 900s, Russia was a forest inhabited by wolves, and Ukraine had been a civilized society for several centuries. And it was Vladimir the Great of Kiev, who converted his nation to Orthodox Christianity back in the 10th century. And Putin has his history wrong. He has his head you know where, doesn't know any history whatsoever. He's a megalomaniac who wants to be Vladimir the Great. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.